Okay, so I'm going the wrong direction. I need to go to Jonah. So if you'll turn to Jonah with me, and I need to turn that on. And so Hosea, Joel, Obadiah. Is that right? I missed. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. That's where we are, Jonah. Jonah, Micah, right? Is that right? Yes, okay. Jonah chapter 2 is where we're going. Okay, so this is Ask the Pastor. Here's the question. Jonah alive or dead? Jonah chapter 2. In the belly of the fish, was Jonah alive or dead? That's the question. So before we get into the message, I'll take a poll. How many think that Jonah died when he was in the middle of the fish? We got a minority of one. How many people think he was alive in the middle of the fish? Okay. Okay. How many would like to abstain? Okay, there's a couple of abstainers. Okay. We'll see if we persuade Gordon with this. All right, so you might think it's a foolish question. Does it really matter? Perhaps it might not. However, it is not one that has been wholly settled among Bible teachers. And notably, J. Vernon McGee taught that Jonah died in the fish and was raised again. So I'm going to quote extensively from J. Vernon McGee on this, so you can get basically, it won't be all of his reasoning. If you have access to his Through the Bible commentary, you can read this and a little bit more that I didn't include. And there's another book he wrote, and I don't have a copy of it, but it wasn't a book, but a booklet about Jonah. And so he refers to it in this. So anyway, most commentators disagree with J. Vernon McGee. But it's an interesting question, and it does force us to answer some things. So first we're going to read Jonah chapter 2, which is fairly short, just 10 verses. And as you can see, if you have it in a modern version, you'll see that it's laid out in poetry. I don't have it that way on the screen. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish, and he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice, for you had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land, which is not a pretty picture. All right, so that's the question here. Was Jonah alive or dead? Now, there's a couple of things in this passage that suggest he was dead in the stomach or the belly of the fish. So which parts of that scripture do you think support that idea? Anybody have a guess from what we've read? Sheol, all right, and in the pit, I think I heard you say over there. So those are the two parts that do tend to support that direction. All right, so now for McGee, J. Vernon McGee. I cried by reason of mine affliction to the Lord, and he heard me. Notice first that God heard Jonah's prayer. That's what McGee says. Out of the belly of hell cried I. The New Scofield Reference Bible translates this as out of the belly of Sheol. And that certainly is accurate, for that is the original Hebrew word. Sheol is sometimes translated in Scripture by the word grave and in other places as the unseen world, meaning where the dead go. This is a word that any way you look at it has to do with death. It is a word that always goes to the cemetery, and you cannot take it anywhere else. Therefore, my interpretation of what Jonah is saying is that the belly of the fish was his grave, and a grave is a place for the dead. You do not put a live man in a grave. Jonah recognized that he was going to die inside that fish and that God would hear him and raise him from the dead. Many years ago, when I was still a young seminary student, I was asked to preach for a brief period at the Westminster Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. I made the Sunday evening service an evangelistic service. One night, several young people came forward when I gave the invitation. After the service, I talked to them, and then I went to the rear of the church. A young fellow was standing there, and he told me, I'm a student at Georgia Tech, and I would like to accept Christ, but I have a hurdle, a problem that I can't overcome. I asked him what his problem was, and he replied, I just can't believe that a man could live 3 days and three nights inside a fish. I said, who told you that? Well, he said, I thought the Bible said so, and I know I've heard preachers say so, and I've got a professor at school who spends his time ridiculing that. My Bible doesn't say Jonah was alive inside the fish, I told him. Then I opened my Bible to the second chapter of Jonah and said, to begin with, this man, Jonah, makes it very clear that the belly of the fish was his grave. A grave is a place for the dead. Do you mean that he died? And that means that God raised him from the dead, the young man said. I told him he was exactly right. That is exactly what happened, he said. He said, that's a greater miracle than Jonah's being kept alive in the fish for 3 days. I agreed with him that it was a greater miracle because, as we shall see, we have records of other men who have lived through such experiences. The important thing to note here is that Jonah cried unto the Lord out of the fish's belly, out of the belly of hell, out of the belly of Sheol, out of the belly of the grave. And that is the place for the dead. Jonah felt like he was there to die and that he was in his grave. You must remember that he did not write this account while he was inside the fish, but afterwards. It's kind of hard. There's no paper, no pen. No, you know, write it on the wall of the ship's belly. That wouldn't work. Or the fish's belly. All right. I realize there are those who will not accept my viewpoint concerning this. When I wrote my first booklet on it, I felt very much alone. However, when the late Dr. M. R. DeHaan also took this viewpoint, many folk accepted it because of their confidence in him. All right, now the DeHaans were the ones behind the Radio Bible Class and the devotional booklets, Daily Bread. Okay, if you hold the other viewpoint that Jonah was alive, that's all right. God certainly could have kept Jonah alive, but my friend, don't hold that viewpoint to the extent that you prevent a lot of young people from defending the Bible. This young man from Georgia Tech went back to college, and when his professor again brought up the subject of Jonah, he said to the professor, who told you that Jonah was alive inside the fish? The professor said, the Bible says so. The young fellow said to him, not my Bible. When they got out a Bible, which they had trouble finding, and looked at the scripture, they found that it does not say that Jonah was alive inside the fish. Now, he has more. He goes on and he quotes from a tract that talks about various experiences with fish. And we'll talk about that in a little bit later. But so the question is there. And so it's, how do we solve this? That's the question. How do we solve this particular question? We could also say, does it matter? But I think there is a thing about this that does matter. And we'll get to that as we get to the end of the message. First of all, the arguments for the state of Jonah. All right, so the first argument is for this fact that Jonah was dead, then resurrected. It leans heavily, as you've seen from what McGee says, on the word Sheol. And then later the word pit, okay, in Jonah 2:2. I've read several different dictionaries on this word to try to determine what the word scholars say it means. There's three main meanings. The grave, number one. The place where the dead are, number two. Or a pit, in brackets, like a grave. Okay, so, you know, it does, the word Sheol does basically mean the grave, all right? And if it's anything else, it's a place where the dead are, sort of like in the Roman pantheon, they have, who is it? It's Pluto, is it? That's over Hades, is that right? Or something? I forget what they call it. That's not, Hades is the Greek name. But anyway, that's the underworld, where the, Pluto is the god of the underworld, and I'm not sure, I think that's the Roman name for him. I can't remember what the Greek name is, and they believe that the dead were shades in this underworld that was ruled over by the gods. Now, there are some who say that the Jews had similar beliefs. We're not going to get into all that. That's not the point. The point is the word means the grave or the place of the dead. In the lexicons, one of the major Hebrew lexicons says wasteland, void, underworld. And another major lexicon says the underworld, condition of the righteous and the wicked, both alike go to the grave, to Sheol. And then another one, Dictionary of Biblical Languages with Semantic Domains, the underworld, Hades, the grave, that is a place under the earth where the dead reside, the realm of death. Since Jonah cried from Sheol, he cried from the grave, that is, he must be dead. That's the logic of that verse. The argument is supported, it is said, by Jesus in Matthew 12. So Matthew 12, 39 to 40 says, "But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." All right, and so the logic is this. Since Jesus died, Jonah must have died. You see? All right, now there is a flaw to that logic. Let's see. Am I going to touch on that in a little bit later? Yes, I am. So, counter arguments. Let's counter McGee. I'm going to leave that on the screen, though. All right, so one thing is, you look at Jonah chapter 2, it's in poetry. Okay, so the words have literal meanings in... Rob's messing with things. Words have literal meanings in poetry, but they're not meant to be taken literally. They can be figurative and symbolic. So yes, Sheol means grave. But he is speaking of... I mean, being inside the belly of a fish is like a grave. Okay? And so you can speak about it poetically. All right? So it doesn't have to be literally that he's dead. What is the focus of Jesus' claim in Matthew 12? What's the point of comparison? What is the sign? The 3 days and three nights. He doesn't say, just as Jonah was dead. He says, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish, or the sea monster, for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. He doesn't even say he will be dead. The point of comparison is the 3 days and three nights. So it doesn't really add to the argument. I think it's sort of a red herring. It doesn't really add to the argument. It has nothing to do with whether Jonah was dead or not. Now, there is something, though, in our text in Jonah chapter 2 that does have a great deal to do with the argument. So let's look at Jonah 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, where? From the stomach of the fish. Okay, now, did he sit there? You know, I can hardly imagine. Here you are. You know, it's got to stink. Okay? It's hot. I'm sure it's hot. And you're going to, let me compose some Hebrew poetry. I think he composed this after, but here, I think I'd be praying. I can remember years ago, we had, Duncan and Susan and Rory at that point, and we were, well, some of you know Sally Hyssop, she's in a care home right now, but we were going to take Duncan and Susan over to Sally's house. The kids were going to stay there, and Debbie and Rory and I were heading down to Seattle to shop, that needed prayer all by itself. But we were driving along Keating Crossroad. They lived in Brentwood Bay, and it was snowing that day. And you know how as you're going along Keating Crossroad, and there's that little bend, there's a school there, and it sort of bends, the road bends. And we started sliding. And you go on that side, and it is like 20 feet down, almost straight down. And I kept going, you know, I'm pumping the brakes. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, I'm praying. out loud. Okay? Well, if I was in the belly of the fish, I'd be praying. I can guarantee you. You know, as long as I had anything about me, I'd be calling on the name of the Lord. Okay? That's not to say he was conscious that whole 3 days and three nights, but he certainly was alive and he prayed this prayer. So he is praying from, if he's praying from the stomach of the fish, he is alive. He prays out of his distress, he says. Let's see, where is this? Verse 2, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he would be. And the line about the distress parallels the depth of Sheol. That distress, I mean, that is a shockingly frightening experience. And the distress, the word distress parallels with Sheol. So poetically, Jonah is comparing his terrifying experience in the stinking darkness as if he is in the grave. I'm sure he's thinking, I don't think heaven is like this. Okay? So the truth is, Jonah's deliverance was a great miracle either way. Now, as I mentioned, if you read McGee, he has a lengthy quote from a tract where somebody wrote up the experiences that people have, or researches that people have done to try to prove that this is a thing that's possible. So there's great sea creatures who this you could. There are apparently some record of events where whale sharks or similar creatures have swallowed large living creatures who survived. Reportedly, in the thing that McGee quotes, some great, what kind of whale shark or whatever it was, swallowed a dog, and they harpooned the whale, and the dog was found barking inside. There's a big air chamber inside this whale's head, and he was able to survive. He was calling to the Lord too, Debbie says. All right. Now the thing is, stories like this aren't necessary to prove the miracle. God can do anything he wants to do. Okay? So, for me, I have to say, Genesis 2:1 is decisive. Jonah prayed to the Lord. Jonah 2:1. Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. To me, that's decisive. I can see the argument. I understand what is being said, but it's absolutely decisive to me. I remember years ago, I had an office worker co-mate when I was selling real estate. And he somehow, like I didn't try to talk about religion a lot, but you know, unless they brought it up. But somehow religion came up. And this fellow, very nice man, said to me, well, I just can't believe that there could be a fish that could swallow a man. How big is God? The problem is not how big is the fish, but how big is God? You see? It doesn't even have to be like a whale shark or there's some other kind that they mentioned. It doesn't have to be those kind of creatures. It's just a great sea creature that God could have made right then on the spot. Jonah's, like fifth class, sixth class, transportation back to Israel. You're like, you're trying to get away from me. Nope. And you're not, you're going, this is below steerage. This is not first class accommodation, I have to say. All right. So now let's just think quickly. Oh, am I? Okay. Then let's think about the content of Jonah's prayer. Oops. Did I click this too many times? Okay. The content of Jonah's prayer. Look at verse 2. Okay, God answered Jonah's prayer. I called and he answered. Okay, I cried for help and you heard me. Okay, so this isn't his verbatim prayer. This is his prayer of praise. And by the way, there's not one request in this prayer. I'm sure he was praying, God save me, God save me, all the way through. But through this prayer, you read Jonah 2, he's not making requests. He's praising the Lord. Verses 3 and 4, he's testifying to his faith in God. You had cast me into the deep. Your breakers and billows passed over me. I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple. He's saying, Lord, I've sinned. I've been cast out. But I look to your temple. All right? Jonah testifies to his terrifying experience, but glorifies God for deliverance. Verse 5. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The deep wrapped, engulfed me. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. I was as low as I could get, but you saved me, is what he's saying. And then he didn't forget God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation, he says, is from the Lord. So Jonah didn't forget God. And then, verse 10, then the Lord commanded the fish, okay, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. Well, not a pretty picture, but I bet you Jonah was praising the Lord. You know, here he is covered in stinking whatever. And praise the Lord. Oh, man. Breathing that fresh air. Oh, what an experience. I mean, I don't know what people on the shore thought, but I know what Jonah thought. He thought, praise the Lord. They thought, what in the world? Can you believe? All right. Okay, but here we get down to us now. Okay, come on. This is being slow. The heart of the matter, faith in God's word. So was J. Vernon McGee wrong? Well, I would say probably. That's my opinion, of course. But he's not a false teacher. This is an interpretive difference. Most interpreters disagree with McGee. And so our survey at the beginning, you're all agreeing with the majority, and some are trying to waffle, and one is with McGee. Well, I was just wondering. I don't want to put anybody on the spot here. But anyway, McGee is fine with that. I want to give you a quote from what McGee says a little bit later on in his commentary. If after I have had a little talk with Jonah in heaven, I learn that he was alive for 3 days and three nights inside that fish, then you can come by and say, I told you so. Then I will have to confess that I was wrong, he says. So he's not holding it in the sense that this is some big deal for him. But here's what the heart of the matter is, and I think this is true. What is McGee trying to do? He's trying to look closely at God's word. He's going to the very meanings of these words. He's saying that these words have significance. He's not just coming up with a theory and saying, well, it couldn't have been, you know, I can't believe that a man could live inside a fish, so he must have died and been raised again. That's not what he's saying. He's looking at the word. He's basing his interpretation on his understanding of the word. And so am I. When I go to verse 1 and I say, but Jonah prayed to the Lord from the stomach of the fish. See, to me, that's decisive. But we're looking to the Word. And so whenever we have questions like this, here's what our differences force us to do. They force us to go to the Word of God and sort this matter out. We want to understand God's Word correctly. And even if we get it wrong, if we have the idea that God's Word is the authority, and we're basing it on God's Word, even if we come to a wrong conclusion based on a misunderstanding of God's Word, that is the right spirit. That's the kind of spirit we should have. The Bible is our authority. It's not what J. Vernon McGee or Don Johnson or anybody else says. It's what does the Bible say? And that's why I encourage Bible reading. Know your Bible. Even as people, you know, you like I often say, this is my job is studying the Bible. But you don't have to know everything I know. You can still study the Bible. You can depend on the Bible. You can make it the guide of your life. That's how we're supposed to live. So we want to honor God by taking His word seriously. Jonah, alive or dead? Well, I think alive. But if you think dead, that's fine. Just base your view on what the Bible says. And then let the Lord sort it out on questions that in the end, it really isn't going to make a difference because Jonah got out of that fish. And then he carried on and he had to learn more lessons. You know, quite a story. But let's trust the Bible. Okay, let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank You again for the Word of God. It does sharpen us. Lord, I pray that You would help us to be faithful students of Your Word and follow what You have to say and not exalt our own opinions over one another. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.